The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Holland is the CEO of All Clear ID. They are a leader in digital identity. They recently launched the first health bank called Health Bank One. It's empowering patients to take charge of their medical records and also take advantage of personal artificial intelligence in their healthcare journey as well. Welcome to the show, Bo.
Thank you, George. Nice to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. Yeah. So on the personal side, I'm a father of four. My children are all grown now. They're all out of the nest. And so my wife and I are having our first few months of empty nesting. So that's quite exciting. Figuring out what it is we like to do again after raising children for 29 years. And so, but they're all off and doing really well. And, you know, a big part of what we like to do is adventures. So, you know, this spring we're going to be doing a trip in the White Rim Canyon. It's a 100-mile mountain bike trail out in Utah, taking the whole family and their plus ones, and basically just going to go have a big adventure for 4 days and do a lot of bike riding outdoors. So those are the kind of things that we love to do as a family. And I think relative to this show, you know, an important part of our personal life has been that my oldest son, Ford, he survived a very rare brain cancer. And so that really changed our life. So he came home in 2013 from his freshman year at Davidson. And he was all excited, loved the school, came home with a headache. That headache turned into blurred vision. We ran to the emergency room, got a scan, and it turned out he had a golf ball sized tumor right in the center of his brain. So right by his pineal tumor gland. And so that was on an idle Tuesday, right? This news just came to us. Otherwise completely healthy. And so that sent us on a healthcare journey. And it's a good news story. These doctors did an amazing job saving his life. So the good folks at Dell Children's, at MD Anderson, MSK, Memorial Sloan Kettering is now caring for him, and Brown University. And so, you know, this will be a lifetime, you know, challenge, but they saved his life. That part is amazing. We just love these doctors who do what they do. The challenging part was the information system, right? So the data just did not follow our son. As we went to these different institutions, we had seven or eight specialists that were working with them for different areas. And the information wasn't available to each of them. And it was obvious, right? They were not on the same page. They didn't understand his conditions, his care, et cetera. And these are brilliant people. They've gone to school. They have all this knowledge. But if you don't give them the information they need to do their job, they can't do it very well. And so it was just, it was our first journey into something a lot of your listeners, I know, understand that the information flow is not there in healthcare whenever you cross an EHR boundary, an organizational boundary, some other boundary. And the information system just doesn't support what the individuals are trying to do, you know, giving and receiving care. And so that was really the life-changing event for us, and really was the inspiration for exactly what I'm doing today.
Well, thank God that you were able to tap into the medical system and it did its job. And can only imagine the frustration that you experienced and just going from provider to provider, doctor to doctor, having to sort of retell the story over and over again. But from that, here we are. So from idea to conception, I mean, that's quite a journey that you've been on since 2014.
It has been. And, you know, the conception of this idea actually happened back then. And that is, we had lots of hours, you know, having what we called chemo camp, right? We would stay at Dell Children's for a week, you know, doing chemo and just camp out, right? That's what we did. Same thing down at MD Anderson, doing the radiation therapy. And so it had a lot of time to think, you know, and reflect on life and this frustration about why in the world Am I having to carry CD-ROMs and pieces of paper between these multi-billion dollar institutions that all have computers? Why is this happening? And it was obvious to me back then that, I didn't mention on my professional side, what I've been doing is building digital banks, digital identities, digital payment systems, for credit card platforms like Visa. That's what I've been doing in my professional life for the past 20 years. And so in the digital banking world, we're pretty good at moving the ones and zeros of money, of contracts, around the world instantly, safely, and securely. We're pretty good at that. And particularly in Northern Europe, where we were building these digital banks using digital identities, we mastered the security aspect of it, where we don't have identity theft. We don't have any scalable fraud. These digital identities, which are mobile apps that essentially fuse with your mobile device to create a very high security credential for you, but is also very convenient to use. This is the technology that we were mastering. And so, it was really disorienting. On the one hand, I can move the zeros and ones of money around the world instantly, safely, no problem. But to move the zeros and ones of this medical data that was required to save my son's life, I was having to physically cart pieces of paper and CD-ROMs between these organizations. And I just thought back then, boy, a digital bank that understood the zeros and ones of healthcare could really solve this problem in a way. I never thought I would be working on it. I thought surely this big investment we're making in EHRs as a country, that's going to solve this problem, right? I think that was the expectation. But fast forward 10 years, the problem remains. It hasn't changed at all. We're still using faxes. We're still using CD-ROMs. It's the primary way data gets shared. There's a big promise around the health information exchanges, but that promise has not been realized. And, my view is that one of the challenges is that, we're asking corporations that own this data today to share it with their competitors. And that's a tough ask for any business. In banking, if you ask Bank of America and Chase to share their customer data for some greater good, you can just imagine what the reaction might be. And that's really what we're asking these healthcare systems to do. And so, the system so far has been bent on the side of, the corporations, right? They own the data, they keep the data, they share it where it benefits them, and they don't share it where it doesn't benefit them. And that's the way the system is run. And I get that. But I also get that my son needs to live. Right? Patients need to have their data, and wherever the patient goes, that data should be available. So we need to find a way to make these two things be true, right? And that's really, how we have built this capability. And so for the first time, we've demonstrated that you can actually make this happen, and both of these things can be true. Corporations can still compete and do what they need to do, but the patients can have the data they need available wherever their journey takes them to make sure there's never a situation where you should never have to start these visits with your doctor from scratch, right? We've all had this experience. Retell the story, right? You mentioned that, George. You're telling the story again and again. Why is that? Why am I filling out the same forms again and again? Why doesn't this information system remember anything about me, right? Why doesn't it make the data available to my doctors? And so we really have the opportunity now to fix that problem and get to a place where the care can be much better and all these frustrations about moving the information, that's been solved in many industries, and now we can solve it in healthcare.
You did it. So now everybody's using it and no more frustration.
Indeed, there's still plenty of frustrations, but the two root problems that really thwarted us as a family, bedeviled us as a family, was number one, getting the base data moved to the doctors where it needed to go. And so that barrier has been broken. Legislators, both here in the US and in Europe, passed privacy laws. In the US, it was the Cures Act, the 21st Century Cures Act. It went into effect October 6th of 2022. And it made law finally that said consumers, patients, own their data and they're entitled to it in electronic form. And they're entitled to it at no cost. And so that was a major breakthrough. In Europe, they passed GDPR. It did the same thing. It said, okay, you are entitled to your data. And so this problem is so severe that people on, the two biggest markets in the world went and passed laws to go change it. But what hasn't been done is actually providing the infrastructure, the tools, right, the system to actually enable us to take advantage of that law. And so that's the piece that we have built, and that's what we're calling a digital health bank, that platform to do that. The second big barrier that had to fall was the knowledge barrier, the medical knowledge barrier. So a big problem that we faced and many fa families face as a family in the medical system is we don't have the medical expertise to even know what questions to ask. We don't even get to know what things cost. It is so complicated that, it's overwhelming. And so too often we find ourselves as patients just being passengers, right? We're in the hands of the doctors. They're trying to do their best, but they're also working for institutions that are on the sell side of life, right? They are selling services. And so they tell us what's available from them. They may not tell us everything that's available, every option. They may not have it. And so just being able to know what questions to ask, really understand your conditions, understand what your options are, what questions and where do I need to go? That kind of medical expertise isn't available to us. We don't know it. And so this is the breakthrough that GPT-4 in particular brought. So about 6 months after the 21st Century Cures Act, this rule went into place and gave us the rights. GPT now smashed that barrier. If you look at the Stanford MedQA accuracy index for AI, you can see that GPT-4o crossed the 90% accuracy barrier. And that exceeds most doctors, right, in terms of knowledge. And we expect with the next turn of the screw, with the reasoning capabilities that are coming in, that that'll go to 95, 96% accuracy level. And it's still not ready for diagnosis and treatment, right? We're not talking about that. The use case we have is just information purposes. So how does a family, how does a patient know what they're dealing with? What their options are, what questions to ask, where to go to get the best care for their problem. It is fantastic for that use case. And on the other side of the coin, for the doctors themselves, the people providing care, they know their specialty deeply. They have studied it, but they don't know everything that's new in their specialty, and they don't know everything that's happening in the other specialties. And so to have this medical knowledge available to both the patients and the doctors, it is 1,000 times better than Google, 1,000 times better than WebMD, really being able to give you, the knowledge. And so the piece, the role that we've played in this is taking advantage of these other two breakthroughs, to actually go crack the systemic barrier, right? So the law solved the ownership problem. AI has solved the medical knowledge problem. And now what we have done is gone and solved the systemic barrier and said, okay, we're providing an alternate system that works for the patients, that is controlled by the patients, right? We've never had, as patients, we've never had a system that worked for us. The doctors haven't had a system that worked for them. So this really, this Health Bank One platform solved that particular problem. So now we've got an information system that can get all the data, be your interpreter and help you understand the data, know what to ask, help ease the way, right? Guide it. And so that really is the third breakthrough that has happened here to make this finally possible.
Well, it's really exciting.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild. Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Ah, well, I can tell you, it's such a different experience going to the doctor now. Every time I go, I spend about 10 minutes with my personal medical AI. It's called Care Guide, but it knows everything about me. It knows everything about my son now. It never forgets, right? So it's a very different experience. You go to the doctor and they don't know anything about you. You're starting from scratch every visit. In this AI, it remembers every lab test, every value, every scan, right? Every lipid test, every condition you've had, every medication you're taking, right? All these things. So you've got an AI that knows you deeply. And we're combining that with this knowledge of GPT-4 today. And that creates, a very personalized experience. And so to be able to say, I'm going to this kind of doctor today. Here's the issue I want to discuss. What question should I ask? And then anything that I don't understand about what it's telling me, I can ask it to simplify that, right? Put this in terms that I can understand, right? Put it in layman's terms. It can translate it to 50 different languages. So it really solves the communication barrier. So when I go and I'm sitting with a doctor now, I know exactly what I want to talk about. I know the subject matter, and I'm able to have a much more meaningful conversation with doctors. So we only get an average of 17 minutes, with the doctor. That's it. That's the total exposure. That's the medical expertise that we're allowed by the current system. And so to be able to use those 17 minutes on the meaningful stuff instead of the noise, what medications are you taking? When did this condition start? All that background stuff, we waste those 17 minutes just giving them a basic level of information they need. But now I can have really meaningful conversations. And so to feel like I'm an empowered person, not just a passenger, it's a really, really different experience when you go to the doctor now. And the doctors love it too.
Well, that is something I definitely want to circle back to, but that is a profoundly different experience and what a short amount of time. So glad to hear we're using technology for good instead of evil. So the doctors like it also.
Indeed. I think that I've been a bit surprised, but really it's no surprise at all. These doctors are, they have a mission, they are committed to it, and they really want to know their patients, right? They're smart. And so they are, I think on their list of frustrations, number one is, insurance companies not being able to get paid or being told what care they can and can't give. But the number two frustration they have is they don't get the information about their patient. And so, imagine, so I run a company, I run a business. I've been a CEO for, 30 years. And imagine if I had to come to work every day and said, how are we on sales? How are we on our operating costs? Where are we on our customer satisfaction? And my people said, well, we don't know, boss, but you figure it out. That's essentially what we have done to doctors. That's what this system is doing to doctors. It's just saying, you're not going to get the information you need. So do your best with a blank piece of paper, right? And start over and over and over every single time. It's really maddening. And so I've been thrilled by the response that we've gotten from the individual physicians and caregivers because this is super frustrating for them. They know they can do a better job if they just had the information at their fingertips. But that's not the way the system works today. These EHRs that we had the hope that they would solve the information problem, basically they've been, harnessed to solve the billing problem, right? And so doctors look at these systems and they really are all about billing. Get the codes right so you can get the maximum reimbursement, right? Make sure you do it this way, not that way. And so they have to navigate this payment obstacle. And that's really the opposite of what, that's not why they went to medical school. They didn't want to be payment clerks. They wanted to, find cures for people.
I think that that is 1,000% right. And I know, unfortunately, that we're experiencing this epidemic of physician burnout and so much frustration from the w awful scenario that you just talked about from the bureaucracy and medical billing and just all of it. So it makes sense that physicians are excited to be able to focus more of their precious time on actually delivering care and helping people to feel better and actually get better. So I appreciate that. From the administration perspective, from the hospital administrator, they didn't want to share the data 10 minutes ago, but now they legally have to. Are they warm to this? Is it frustrating? I'm sure it's a little bit of everything.
It is. So, anytime there's something new, a major shift like this, where essentially, power and control is moving to the individual, and away from the institution. Look in the past, everything, all the way back to mainframes and PCs, right? It was the same kind of dynamic. Personal computers showed up and the institutions, resisted them. IT was very unhappy about personal computers. But ultimately, those things took over. Internet did the same thing, right? Really provided a lot of power to individuals to access any kind of information. So this is another shift that is equally powerful, where suddenly the two things that institutions really use to maintain control and order in their world, having the data, having that locked up, and having all the knowledge, right? Those are the two big advantages. Those are now available to you and me, right? Just download the app, and now you can have all of that. And so that sort of shift is uncomfortable. But I can tell you it's going to work, and ultimately they will be fine, and it will be better for everybody. To get to a system where the information flows freely. And so we're excited about that. And one other group that has been, really interested in what we're doing is the research community, right? So this is the community that is searching for cures. So this includes pharma, this includes the patient advocacy groups, right, who are trying to solve problems. And so they live sort of outside of the healthcare system. They don't have a law that enables them to get the data that they need to go run trials, to go figure out which of these molecules, can really make a difference for people. And so it really adds a lot of cost and a lot of time to the research process, both in the trials, and then also once you have a cure. You know, if you're in Berlin and you find a cure for something, you know, maybe it's a gene therapy. How do you go find the patients, that actually have that gene, around the world? And for some of these rare diseases, there might be 8,000 or 10,000 people, on Earth that have this, but it's severe, it's debilitating, and now there's a cure. But how does your doctor find out about that? How do you, as a parent or a patient, find out about that? And so this is another area where, basically this platform can enable people to find each other, right? Find people that are seeking cures, people that have cures, people that are trying to do trials and create research breakthroughs. The information flow there has been broken as well. And one of the most profound things here is when the data is owned by the patient, we're outlaws as patient. We are not subject to HIPAA. We've never been asked to be covered entities. We're not asked to sign business associate agreements. We can use our information however we like, right? And we encourage you to use it responsibly. But if there's a researcher anywhere in this world working on a problem that can help my son, right, with the challenges that he has and is going to have, I want that information to go there. I want them to make things better, right? And so now I have the power to do that. And in the business-to-business world, that is extremely challenging. It might take 2-3 years to go negotiate agreement just to do some basic sharing, particularly if you're going across privacy regimes like from the US to the EU or anywhere else. Very, very complicated. You just can't get this information to move where it needs to go. So that's another really promising aspect of this platform is that the patient now is in charge. The patient is free. And now you can move your medical data as easily and safely as you can your money. Right? The same idea. And so being able to move that data to the people who are searching for cures is another really exciting aspect of what this is going to enable.
Yeah, I hadn't necessarily thought of that. But if I were a researcher, obviously, to potentially have access to training data on an unlimited number of patients, I would certainly want that and then turn the GPT loose on or whatever the AI loose on it to be able to just help me make better decisions. But that's probably a conversation for another day. So
the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall. With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
Indeed. Yeah, going back to the...
Go ahead.
Yeah. And, back to this issue of change, whenever a change like this happens, I'll give you another analogy that, part of what we were working on in Europe... was a construct called open banking. So they had a similar problem over there where the large banks, were controlling the market They were squelching innovation. They were raising their prices. And the banks were super happy. But the rest of the community, not so happy. Things were getting stale. Things were getting old. We're paying higher prices than they should. So innovation really was locked up. And the governments tried for years to push the banks to say, come on, we need you to open up a little bit here, create some innovation, move forward, don't get stuck in the past. And they really couldn't get the institutions to do it. As hard as they tried. So what they finally did in 2016, as part of GDPR, they passed this right that said, hey, consumers, you are now in charge of your banking data. You now own your banking data and you can move it to any other bank, in seconds without filling out any forms. And you have this second ability to be able to connect to any third-party tool, any new innovative tool, you can now connect that to your bank. Right. And so the banking data flows right into the tool, into the innovation that you were interested in using. So they gave consumers these two superpowers, right? And they also provided the infrastructure to do it. And the key to making that safe were these digital identities that we were building, right? Because if you're going to give consumers that kind of power over their banking information and access to their bank account, how do you do that safely? And so that was the core technology that we perfected. And the banks, of course, said, this is, the sky is going to fall. This will be the end of the world. It'll be fraud, fraud, fraud. Nothing will work. But in fact, the opposite came true. Consumers started using it. They started moving their data, and the bank started responding to what the consumers actually wanted to do. And lo and behold, the sky did not fall. The banks figured it out. And now we've got really innovative companies like Klarna and Revolut, all these innovations that came. And so I've seen this movie before where you move power from the institutions, to the individuals in a big market that has become fossilized. And so when I saw the new laws here in the US, it's essentially the very same pillars. Let's say the patient's got an absolute right to the data. We have a protocol called FHIR, which everyone needs to support to make that data easy to move. And we've got penalties for anyone that is blocking information. And so those were the same pillars that powered open banking in Europe and shifted an industry that was quite powerful. Nobody thought could change, but it did, right? It's been amazing. And so we will see that same change here in healthcare now. So it'll be a little uncomfortable at the beginning, but there are so many benefits and there are still so many ways that organizations can compete, aside from controlling the information. And so I'm really excited about what that's going to bring.
Yeah, I think for good reason. What is the ideal dream scenario for AllClear ID and First Health Bank? Is it working, partnering with the insurance companies to roll it out? Is it the hospital systems? Is it individuals?
That's been one of the great mysteries, George, that we had to figure out. It's less about what our dream would be and how we'd love to see it used. It's more about what's possible within the system. Who is interested in changing it, right? And so the problem of the most obvious thing is let's take it to the doctors, right? They're the ones who have the pain. They're the ones who need the information. And so we of course did that. And spent a good amount of time, and the individual physicians loved what we're doing. The institutions could not get their minds around it. And so every time we would work up the ladder and get to the product teams and the IT teams, the dream would die. And so they've got a whole bunch of priorities, and I get it. Saving lives every day is super complicated and super hard and super chaotic, right? So again, I am pro doctor. I love my doctors. I love what they do. But the environment that they operate in is really chaotic. And so it's no wonder that their technology is way behind. Technology takes a back seat. All the money, all the oxygen, all the energy, goes into saving lives. And so it's really a question of who is in position to make this change happen. And the providers really are not in a position to make this happen. There may be one out there, but I haven't met him yet. Payers, I think, in the same thing. They've got a complicated world. They've got their issues that they're trying to solve. And they are typically, a little slow. They're not the ones to lead and innovate. So I don't think they're really in a position to do this. So where we came to is the research community really is in position to make this change. Their pain level around not being able to get the information they need on these patients to get them qualified for trials, not being able to get the information they need to get the real-world data and the real-world evidence, that they need to go get their approvals. That is painful for them. And then not being able to find the patients, who need the drugs that they've created, you know, is a really painful thing for them. And what's unique about them also is they do have money, and they do have focus. You know, they're not saving lives every day. They don't have the same chaotic sort of daily operation. And so it's a really focused group that is quite powerful, but outside of the healthcare system. And so that's really is what we look for, is who's outside of the existing system that has enough focus, has enough money, you know, to actually go make this change. And so the, you know, the whole research world is really the right place. So it begins with them. And very much, you know, the other question that we had to answer is who's willing to pay for this? Right. Because it's not cheap to build a bank and operate a bank that's going to do what we do and keep everything safe. And so who can pay for this? And consumers feel like they're already paying a ton for their healthcare, right? Exorbitant, you know, dollars for the drugs, for the care. You go to the doctor and it's $400. You go to the emergency room, it's $4,000. And meanwhile, you know, I'm paying $900 a month for my family's, you know, care with a high deductible of the first $12,000 is on me every year, right? So the system has shifted a tremendous amount of cost to the consumers already. And, you know, they don't feel like they should have to pay for this. So that was the other mystery of, you know, who's both in a position to make this change and who has the money to actually pay for it. And so that's another piece. So many of the partners that we're working with in the research space, they are sponsored by pharma. And so pharma will actually pay for this product to be part of the offering, to be part of the clinical trials, to be part of the real world data trials, to be part of, you know, the commercial relationships that they have with consumers. And so that really is the second big piece of the puzzle. So, you know, we had our ideas of how we'd like it to work, but after understanding, you know, the industry and who's in a position to make the change, who has the money to make the change, that really turned out to be the research community. And so working sort of from the outside of the system in, you know, is the approach that we're taking. So patients want this change. They want it changed now. Doctors want this change now. The research organizations want this change now. And so those are the three communities that we're starting with. And over time, I think the institutions that are the payers, that are the providers, you know, the other folks inside of the system, you know, I think they will ultimately follow the data. You know, they need the data. They spend a lot of money buying this data. It comes too late. It comes in forms that they can't use. And so I think that they will ultimately follow their own consumers. And instead of doing all these B2B, you know, business to business schemes of trying to get data from one place to the other and these 2-year agreements they have to work through, you know, there's now an easy answer. You know, just go to your patient. Your patient's now got the data. And we patients are pretty generous. You know, we, you know, even though, you know, we want our doctors to have the data, so we'll happily share it. We want our payers to be able to get through the prior authorizations. And so we'll happily share the data that they need to make that happen. And so I think that's where this will, you know, sort of where this began in the research side and where we'll end is over in the, you know, provider payment side. How many years that'll take, we'll see. You know, the industry has an amazing propensity to stay the same. But this, you know, suddenly you have a consumer that owns their data, that has a, you know, the world's medical knowledge in their pocket. Right. That is a really different dynamic that's never existed in this industry. And so I think the, you know, consumer choice and consumers being right. Right. That's a mantra in many other industries. It's never been the mantra in this industry. But now it is.
A bright future. Well, Bo, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you and how can they learn more about All Clear ID and First Health Bank?
Well, thank you for having me on. I really appreciate the opportunity to spread the word about this. And so you can learn more at healthbankone.com. And so there's demonstrations there, there's consumer testimonials, but you'll get a good idea of how this health bank works, how it keeps your information safe. And my encouragement is go get your data. One of the things that people don't realize is that their data is not being kept safe out there. We've got data breaches happening every day. Retention periods that end, you know, people are shocked to find out that, you know, these institutions are only required to keep their data for 5, 6, 7 years, right? And then they dump it. And you might need that data, right? I was on the phone with a woman who's a customer of ours just last week, and she's undergoing a second round of cancer. And so her doctors, of course, asked the obvious question, which is, can you get us the data from your previous treatment, so we can understand what happened, how your body responded. If you can get us that information, that will help us on this new journey that you're on. And so she was so excited to use our platform. We went and ordered the data, but the answer that came back was, oh, we discarded it. We got rid of that data a few years back. And she was just heartbroken, right? And so this is something that people are not aware of, but you know, we keep our taxes, we keep our financial information, we keep track of this stuff. But the one set of data that we don't keep track of is the data about our own body. And if that stops working, nothing else works. And so really encourage you to go check it out and start getting your data, because nobody else is going to keep it for you and keep it safe. And then the app is available in the app stores as well, both Android App Store and iOS. So you can just download the app. There's a 30-day free trial, so please take advantage of it.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Bo your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to healthbankone.com and check out everything that Bo and I have been talking about today. Go get your data, and then go to the App Store and download the app, whatever operating system you use. Try it for free and take ownership of your data and all your healthcare moving forward. Thanks again, Bo.
Thank you, George. Have a great day.
You as well. And until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.